Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, and a quick double shot on the good martini today. We're not going to dwell on it, but kudos to Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, the brave members of the Wisconsin legislature who actually stayed in town and voted in favor of changing the collective bargaining laws. They were vindicated by a decision by the Wisconsin Supreme Court late Tuesday afternoon, just before the Wisconsin Republican legislative leaders were saying, if you don't make this ruling, we're just going to vote on it again and make sure there's not even some sort of arcane rules challenge that the Democrats can put up here. So the law is now in effect, and Wisconsin can get on with its life and probably a much stronger economy. So on to the other one that we're going to focus on here today in the good martini with a little more time, and that's Texas Governor Rick Perry. It's been so long since we've had a president who used to be a Republican governor of Texas, and so it's good to see them potentially getting back into the field again. Rick Perry, since he replaced George W. Bush, is the longest-serving governor in the nation. And it seems like, at least if you used to work for Newt Gingrich, he's your first choice. Most folks seem to be heading there if he decides to run. And Rick Perry certainly seems to be in mid-campaign form as he talked about the disparity between the economic success in his state and the economic disaster that's happening in New York, which is where he gave this speech earlier in the week.
I want to see a New York state, again, a place where we have to be looking at what we're doing in the state of Texas, because people are leaving Texas, headed to New York. I want to see that type of competition again. But we'll never do it with a Washington, D.C. that's making us all be one size fits all. That may work real good for gym socks, but it doesn't work good for states.
Well, taking a shot at Washington, taking a shot at big government altogether. I'm sure if Perry does run, Jim, that the Democrats will say that that speech is just proof that Rick Perry wants people to leave Texas and take jobs to New York.
Exactly. Yes. He's, you know, I expect Andrew Cuomo will start adopting bits of that in advertising for himself. You know, the reason I nominate this as the good martini of the day is that, you know, you look at, I understand, you know, poll numbers will be coming out later today that kind of further emphasize this point. There are a lot of Republicans out there who aren't in love with anybody right now. And you look at all the big name candidates. Romney obviously has this big issue of Romney Care. Pawlenty, people aren't quite sold on, and people think he may have, you know, not been as aggressive as they wanted to see in that debate. You look down the list, Sarah Palin, a very polarizing figure. There's no one, everyone's kind of like, you know, in a year when the generic Republican is doing so much better than any of the actual Republicans running for president, why can't we find somebody who's more encapsulates all of the best traits of Republicans? And I think for a lot of Republicans are looking at Rick Perry and saying, okay, that might be the guy. And one of the things that's kind of fascinating is that if you talk to folks in Texas, they'll tell you that Rick Perry is very much not George W. Bush. And in fact, is, you know, his allies and the Bush allies are not the same folks. And sounds like there's occasionally some bad blood between them. You made the joke at the beginning that this is we haven't had a Texas governor as president in a long time. Rick Perry is going to have to come out and make very clear that he's not a rerun of George W. Bush, that he is his own man and he has his own approach towards government. And I think in the eyes of many fiscal conservatives, a much better non-compassionate conservative, non-big spending conservative approach towards things. But he's also got a fantastic economic record in Texas that he can point to and talk about. And I think a lot of Republicans will be kind of, you know, reassured that somebody who could really focus in on that stuff is in the probably going to be in the mix. Obviously, hasn't announced, but certainly speeches like the one in New York certainly seem to be pointing in that direction. And, you know, I think a lot of conservatives will say, you know what, the field is better for having him in it.
His biggest challenge, as you mentioned, is going to be distinguishing himself from Bush. The Democrats will obviously try to make it look like a replay from 2000 and 2004. And, of course, he has obviously a record to run on here. He's been governor for over 10 years. Texas has the strongest economy in the country, I believe, right now. That is certainly going to be issue number one, barring a major shift in the state of the economy. So to have that kind of track record in your back pocket and out in front on the debate stage and in the campaign is going to be a huge asset for whoever the nominee is. And that's clearly a major arrow in the quiver for Rick Perry should he decide to run. As you mentioned, Jim, there was a debate on Monday night among seven people who are currently in the race. And if anyone actually watched the debate, you would know that most of the debate, certainly over half of it, I would say, dealt specifically with the economy, job creation, Medicare, the Ryan plan, housing, energy, and so forth. But the Democratic National Committee is hoping that no one actually watched the debate. They want you to believe anyway that the Republicans are only focused on divisive issues. So they put out this web ad, and you'll hear little musical interludes. And in those interludes, there are statements like, no one ever mentioned education. No one ever said the term middle class. And so, again, they have the candidates responding to these specific questions from CNN moderator John King.
John, I support a constitutional amendment to define marriage as between a man and a woman. I think Governor Palin's a remarkable leader. I think she's qualified to be president of the United States.
If I'm elected president, I will repeal Obamacare.
I'm really not sure, Jim, why they left that Romney quote in there, because I think most Americans want whoever's the next president to repeal Obamacare. But it's interesting that they're trying to distract Americans by putting out those quotes when it's clear that they want Americans to think about anything other than their own economic performance on these issues.
Yeah, by the way, for those of us who have look at the mainstream media with a jaundiced eye, this is a good example of why we suspect that it's a 1-2 punch, that CNN asks about gay marriage and gay adoption and gays in the military and paper or plastic or Starsky or Hutch or deep dish or all these kinds of questions that are really not anywhere near, never mind the first top priorities of Republican primary voters, I think not near the top priorities of the American electorate as a whole. And then the DNC comes out and makes fun of them for talking about such issues. Well, what are they supposed to do? Ignore John King's question? I mean, after a while, Mitt Romney kind of, made an offhand comment saying it's more important to talk about jobs. And I think he was right to emphasize that. This is, what we can expect from the DNC. I also like the argument from them that they kind of have to make these kinds of Medicare-style campaigns because they don't have a heck of a lot to talk about. It's interesting that you mentioned this DNC web ad. There's a fantastic RNC web ad that debuted this morning. You can find on Campaign Spot that basically just takes a recent quote from Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the head of the DNC, in which she talks about, we've turned the economy around. Well, there are a lot of Americans out there who are looking around and saying, this is the turnaround? This is it? This is the good times? So between those two messages, I think the Republicans are going to have the more powerful of the two there. And it was kind of fascinating to see even the Jake Tapper and a couple other folks were saying, this is a blatantly misleading web video to begrudge Republicans for answering the questions put to them instead of, and to ignore everything they did say about the economy, et cetera.
Jim, the good news is, here in our third martini, is that we finally solved the employment problem. It was just a couple of days ago we talked about how the president in his weekly address said that it took us forever to get into this mess and it's going to take us a while to get out of this mess. But fortunately, in speaking with Ann Curry of NBC's Today Show, the president has really put his finger on why the unemployment rate continues to be above 9%.
A lot of businesses have learned to become much more efficient with a lot fewer workers. You see it when you go to a bank and you use an ATM, you don't go to a bank teller, or you go to the airport and you're using a kiosk instead of checking in at the gate.
I could be wrong, Jim. I thought ATMs were invented before 2009 and airport kiosks as well. But apparently there are so many more now in the past couple of years that our unemployment rate has shot up over 2% in that 2.5 years.
Greg, just think of all the stonecutters that have been put out of work by the printing press, the cotton gin, tractors, combines, hay balers, the Industrial Revolution has really been tough for all of us. I also have apparently a White House press release said, the letters ATM are just three letters different from OBL. And as we all know, they established a close tie to between ATMs and Osama bin Laden. I'd also note that according to police records, in every single bank robbery in history, not a single ATM has tried to intervene. So it's just an appalling record that all Americans should be hateful towards. Yeah, look, this is why the president should, is dangerous when he goes off teleprompter. By the way, just thinking of teleprompters, think of all the cue card holders they put out of work over the years. Does technological advances affect the job market, affect the types of jobs you'll have? Sure. But the idea that our 9.1% unemployment is driven by airport kiosks and ATM machines is kind of laughable. And I think it's a sign that the White House is kind of flailing for some sort of reasonable excuse on the unemployment rate. And they're not likely to find it. I think this is, the fact that this is so quickly and easily mocked is a sign that they have no better answers. And so they're just going to, it's like that old method of cooking spaghetti. They're just going to cook it and just throw against the wall and see what sticks.
Maybe we can throw this back at them with the light bulb controversy. If we went back to the incandescents, which don't last quite as long, but are about $50 cheaper, more people could be out there making light bulbs. Jim, talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Thursday for the next Three Martini Lunch.